you expect it coming? And do the other athletes, like the baseball players, I mean, obviously you're not around them now, but do they ever, do they keep their eye on what the other sports do, like Tom Brady or what?
Oh, of course. No doubt about that. They are all, you know, Tom Brady is the greatest athlete, the greatest winner of our era, certainly, greatest quarterback of all time. And these guys keep a close eye on football. He's been around the ballpark a couple times. Don't forget, he was drafted by the Montreal Expos as a catcher, in addition to being drafted by football. I remember a long time ago talking to him after he took batting practice at Fenway Park. I was not surprised. I predicted this. I had said prior to, I thought he was gone. All the writing on the wall certainly indicated to me that he wanted you know, a bigger contract than the Patriots were ever going to give him, right? He never got that contract as the top-paid quarterback. They stick to their plan and stick to their value. And so, no, didn't surprise me at all. In fact, I was a week or two ago in spring training, a couple of producers and I were out to dinner, and we bet dinner on what would happen, and I said he would not be back. So it doesn't surprise me.
Wow. TC, obviously we never would hang out with Tom Brady for any reason in our wildest dreams, but I mean, what was he like to just sort of be with in the away from the camera time? Was he still bigger than life, or did he seem like a regular guy like he wanted to?
You know, it's a great question, and I think it changed over time. I've been around him a couple of times at various points of his time here in 20 years, and you could see him, you know, kind of going from Tom Brady, the guy who shocked the world and became the starting quarterback, to the TB12, you know, franchise that he became. But always a gentleman, always a kind person. I never saw or heard stories about him being rude to anybody or just not being, you know, genuinely humble and respectful around people. Story I was telling, it was on the earlier side, but you know, we were at a red carpet premiere for a movie, and we were doing live hits, and he actually got him, and he came on with me live, and there was a crowd behind us, and so I did the same, we did it live on the air. We'd turn around and face the crowd, and the crowd would go nuts, and then I would say, this time, don't turn around. I'd turn around alone, and there'd be crickets chirping, you know, and then get him to turn around. I mean, I can't imagine what what it would be like to live life in that bubble and to have a wife who arguably is even more famous on a global scale. It couldn't be easy for them to live any kind of private life at all. But to answer your question, I always saw him as a gentleman who was kind to people, and the stories from people I know closer to him echoed the same thing.
TC, is given all that's going on in the world right now and in the country with the coronavirus, is this story made smaller because it pales in comparison to coronavirus, or is it made bigger because we have nothing else to talk about?
Well, I think here in New England it's bigger. It was, you know, I told my wife right away, I was like, I finally got something to talk about other than coronavirus. She's like, yeah, but I do have something else to obsess over now. and it's, I think that's how it felt for a lot of us, you know, just covering the way it broke this morning, you know, my phone blowing up as you read the news and everybody's weighing in on the news and a lot of people texting me and going back and forth. It was kind of nice to have an hour or two where you weren't thinking about sheltering in place, where you're actually thinking about sports even though they weren't being played. So once again, Tom Brady's timing was excellent in the pocket. He gave us the distraction we need, and I'm thankful for that. Yeah.
Tom Caron, Red Sox Bruins insider at Nesson, with us every single Tuesday. Thanks to Stacey Adamski at Adamski Law, always AdamskiLaw.com, 802-363-6371. Can you explain what Tom Brady means to New England? Do we have enough time for you to be able to do that?
No, I mean, you know, we talk on a Red Sox side about what David Ortiz meant, right? But it started with Brady. You know, before 04, there was the 01 Patriots season. And you know, much like we're going through this now and looking for him to, and looking for sports of any sort to lead us out of the misery and to give us a little distraction, you know, that 01, in the wake of 9/11, that Patriots Super Bowl, just remarkable what he did coming out of nowhere as a sixth-round pick, as we all know, out of Michigan. And to replace a guy who was a legend. I mean, it's hard to remember now what Drew Bledsoe meant to this franchise, but Drew Bledsoe was the guy who turned the franchise from a laughing stock into a legitimate NFL franchise. Well, Tom Brady then took that franchise and made it the best in the league, and did it, without a doubt, with the greatest coach in the game and the greatest ownership in the game. It was a triumvirate. There's no doubt about that. But the whole golden age of Boston sports that we talk about now begins with Tom Brady taking over for Drew Bledsoe, leading them to, still remember that championship against St. Louis, and John Madden still doing color at the time, saying he should take a knee and get to overtime so they'd actually have a chance. And he had other plans as he just picked the defense apart, got him in field goal range, and brought the Super Bowl to Foxborough. So, what he means to this is, he means that everything changed for us. The Herald had that famous back page, Boston Herald, where like it was in the Hollywood sign in the hills, right, with the that lettering. It was over Boston. It said Loserville because it had been 15 years without a single championship. Well, that 15-year stretch from the 86 Celtics to the 2001 Patriots ended with Tom Brady taking over, and he ushered in the greatest era we've ever known.
All right, TC, what does a Red Sox and Bruin insider do when there's no Sox or Bruins going on? What have you been doing?
Well, we actually, the timing on this worked out pretty well. Jerry Remy and I released a podcast last week. I hope you guys have listened to it by now. If not, you'll have to start. We had done it last week down at Fort Myers, and we were going to do it again when the season started, but we, through the miracles of science, recorded one from our respective homes today. That'll be released tomorrow. So he's back north. Yeah, and this is where, all joking aside, I mean, I got a college-age son who's home and bouncing off the walls going out of his mind because he doesn't know when he'll be able to go back to college, right? Right. And a lot of people are in that boat. But here's Jerry Remy, whose immune system is compromised, who has had lung surgeries, who is absolutely the kind of at-risk person we talk about when we talk about trying to limit the spread of this disease. So he got home safely. He's quarantined now at his house. They have to make sure he didn't get anything flying up here. But I'll tell you, and I remember talking to you guys about it last week, you're in a bubble down there in spring training. You don't know what's going on in the real world because all we're talking about is baseball. And it was just for me on Friday, my wife and I got out of there and flew back up here. And what a strange experience to, be on that plane wiping everything down where probably a third of the plane passengers had masks on or gloves or some combination. And then you get here, we go right out to the grocery store, and it was like an episode of The Walking Dead where there's nothing left in the store. Trying to forget about toilet paper, just trying to find food and things to eat. It's crazy. It's that 48-hour journey where from Thursday morning I woke up thinking I was going to the East Coast to do play-by-play of a game against Houston, another against the Cardinals last weekend, to watching baseball shut everything down. Now we're hearing, and I know the Brooklyn Nets news was just breaking.
Yes.
And now I know, a second Yankee minor leaguer has tested positive. Those poor Yankee minor league players are all quarantined to their rooms. It's amazing how rapidly everything changes. Even baseball, right? Friday they made the announcement that, we're closing down spring training, but facilities will remain open for players to come in and have practices if they want. That was Friday. On Sunday, they're like, we recommend you get out of here.
Yeah.
Everybody go home. I mean, now we're talking about 8 weeks, which I still don't think is realistic, but that's mid-May at the earliest. Jerry Remy's been saying he thinks it's June at the earliest all along. And the scary thing is we just don't know, right? I mean, that's not baseball. That's all of us. We have no idea how long this thing's going to last.
Tom, are the players worried? I mean, it seemed like most of America was sort of like, oh, this is just something happening overseas and it'll go away in a couple of weeks. And then the NBA shut down. It's like, uh-oh, this is serious. I mean, how did the players feel? What did you hear from them those last couple of days before they had to get out?
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, just unsure, like the rest of us, what this all means. A lot of these guys have young children, right? Wives and kids. Not all of them were at spring training. If your kids were school age, they were probably back home, wherever home is. So there were a lot of guys. Chaim Bloom was talking about his two very young children and his wife and concern for them. And I think in a matter of 48, 72 hours, right around the time the NBA shut down and that weird Wednesday night when games were stopped. From that time to really Thursday, Friday, when baseball started making announcements, everything happened so quickly. We went from, Monday, I was joking around with Mitch Moreland in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
I think it was Monday. Might have been Sunday. And you know, I was joking with him that, you know, you ever go 0-for-4, all you got to do is come out of the locker room coughing and no one's going to get near you for an interview. You won't have to talk about it. You know, he was laughing, and that's a great idea. You know, that was a day later, we're banned from the clubhouse. 2 days later, the clubhouses are closed because baseball's closed. And this, you know, think about the speed at which that all happened. 48, 72 hours from joking about it to, wow, it's going to be a while till we're closed. Everybody go home. It's going to be a while.
Tom Karen, Sox, Bruins, et cetera, Nesson with us here on The Huddle every single Tuesday at 5. Thanks to Stacey Adamski at Adamski Law, 802-363-6371. We know that the NHL sent its players home to wherever home is, including abroad. What has baseball done as far as where these players can go? Because I would have some trepidation about sending players back to foreign countries. Are the Red Sox players wherever they want to be?
Yeah, they've given them the option. I mean, baseball's recommended everybody go home with the understanding that you might not be able to go home, or going home might not be a reasonable option, in which case baseball and their individual teams have continued to help them with housing and with subsidies for housing. So, in other words, and I don't know individually who decided to stay, who decided to go, but you know, if I'm Zhu Weilin, I'm not sure going back to Taiwan, although they seem to be a little bit of ahead of the curve now, but you know, just the travel involved and going there, you know, so someone like that may stay. Now, the sticky part of it is, for all teams, is minor leaguers are a different story. You know, major leaguers are protected by union negotiations. That's why a lot of them have been slow in coming out. Tony Clark and the Players Association continue to, everything from daily stipends. Remember, players don't get paid at spring training. They don't get paid till the season starts. So they're there for a daily stipend, a housing allowance, meal money, all of that. You know, are you going to keep paying players that as they go home? That stuff's all being collectively bargained. Mm-hmm. Minor leaguers have no such collective bargaining agreement. And so these poor guys who don't make much money to begin with, they've been told to go home. Minor leaguers that were sent home. Now, again, and I know the Red Sox were one of the few teams that told Baseball America that they are still paying stipends to their minor leaguers, even though they don't have to. So tip of the cap to the Red Sox and those other teams for doing the right thing. But those minor leaguers who don't want to go home because home might be a foreign country, they are being told they can stay. But it's a mess because, unlike any other sport, right, baseball is the only team you're talking about, six or seven teams if you include all the minor leaguers. You're talking about a couple of hundred players.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as a 25-man roster.
TC, what about the minor leagues in general? We know that baseball's been locked in this battle with the minor leagues about what might happen to those 42 teams, including the Vermont Lake Monsters, in the future. Let's just play this forward. Let's say we don't see baseball until July or something, and baseball's lost a lot of money here. Do they go forward and try to contract all those teams, including the Lake Monsters, like they thought, to recoup any money they can? Or are they saying, hey, baseball needs all the popularity it can get right now. Let's keep all the teams.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I don't have an answer for it because we're in uncharted territory. I do know it could go a couple of different ways. As you said, maybe the industry of baseball decides to recoup their money and limit their losses by cutting down the teams now. On the other hand, and you know, I've thought about work stoppages that I've covered, right? A couple of times now the NHL has lost an entire season, and way back when I was doing minor league hockey before going to Nesson, the NHL had a lockout that lasted about 3 months. I want to say this was 1994. I'm going to think the beginning of the 94 season. And you know what happened? They started up again mid-season, and there has never been such a rash of blown hamstrings in the history of any sport because guys just were not in shape. Guys were not in mid-season shape, and suddenly they're playing games. So you know what happened? Suddenly minor leaguers were getting called up like never before. And guys who were marginal prospects had an opportunity. Some of them made careers because they had that opportunity. So, you know, the other side of the coin is you may need more minor leaguers than ever before once you start playing here, because there's going to be pitchers who are going to break down. It's just, and I was talking to Jerry Remy about it today. It's just unrealistic to expect guys to be mid-season shape, and you're going to probably end up having a shortened season under your scenario, right? If you're not playing till June or July, it's probably not going to be 162 games, so it's a little more of a sprint to the finish line.
Right.
You might need to keep all those minor league teams because you might need more players than ever before.
Maybe Castillo could actually play for the Red Sox.
Well, easy now. I don't even know if a pandemic can
do that. Let me ask you this, TC. First of all, let's say there's an 81-game schedule. You just can't pick it up from game 82. Don't you have to redo the schedule so you make sure everybody plays within the division and within their conference? And also, let's say you have to make up some games. Would you be for, like, if you have to make up doubleheaders or play doubleheaders, make them like seven-inning games so we could get more games in? Or are we just changing too much when we go to that? And when do you think we'll get back? I know you said Jerry said June. What are you thinking? June, July? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, so there's a lot there. I mean, let's begin with the schedule. You're absolutely right. They can't just pick it up with the June 18th game and go from there. You need a balanced schedule within the division. I would assume they'll want more division games, not more than we have now, but more than you're playing other teams.
Right.
My guess is the first thing to probably go is interleague, and so that would be the one good thing that comes out of this pandemic, because I think it's too much interleague anyway. But I would guess interleague play goes away because it's not important. I think you'd have to limit your cross-country trips, right? So maybe one West Coast trip, you play the other divisions once.
Right.
And then you have a division-heavy schedule. So that would be, and I know for a fact that Major League Baseball and the Players Union, the Players Association, are already deep into laying out a bunch of different scenarios, building new schedules based on if it begins here, if it begins there. You know, right now they can't play more than 20 days in a row. Do you waive that so they can get more games in? Do you cancel the All-Star game and let them play through the All-Star break?
Absolutely.
You know, there's a lot of ways. How late can you go in the season? I thought this was interesting. Jerry Remy today on our podcast, which, again, you should check out tomorrow on the Nesson podcast.
Yeah.
But he thinks what they should do is, if it starts real late, and I don't know what real late is, but if we go deep enough in and then it begins, that they should play regular season games into November and then move the playoffs to neutral site dome stadiums and make it like the Super Bowl.
Huh.
Just have
not
them
bad.
Play. And why not? I mean, it only happened once. We know this is different. Why not? Now, the problem there is, if you're going to play into December, do those players have enough time to get ready for the following season? Or do you have to shorten that season? So there's a lot that goes in there.
Jeez.
And then,
yeah,
you know, as far as what I think, and what do I know, but I would think, I mean, they're talking about a minimum of 8 weeks now. Everything we've seen expanding here in recent days, the minimum doesn't seem to be the case. So, you know, I would think, yeah, June is realistic. My worry is June might be when they can finally get back for spring training.
Mm.
You're going to need 3 weeks of that minimum, because these guys are going to be completely shut down by the time we get going again. So you're going to need at least a three-week minicamp, whether that's in Florida or right here in Boston. You could have it at Fenway. You could even, you know, have people come watch if people are allowed to gather by then. So, I will be really surprised if we see a Major League Baseball game before June, and I think it could even be by the end of that month as opposed to the beginning.
Wow.
Todd, getting to the Bruins again, you mentioned them a few minutes ago. I mean, how terrible do you feel for them? They have been playing like their hair's on fire all season long. Such a joy to watch, and then just have it taken away. I was seeing a couple of articles about people, a couple of writers saying they should be given the Stanley Cup because they have the most points. I can't stand that idea.
When we finally can gather, you have one day at the Garden where we all come in to watch Chara hoist the cup, right? No game or anything. You just have Bettman and Chara come to center ice. Yeah, I agree. I don't think that's realistic. That's never been done before. In other sports that have had a mid-season work stoppage, you don't crown somebody a champion at the end of that. I don't think that's realistic. I do still think, and I think I told you guys this last week, I know that NBA and NHL teams have talked to arenas about July availability.
Yeah.
So based on what I said earlier, if I think baseball can come back by the end of June, why couldn't hockey come back? And listen, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's four teams. Maybe it's the conference finals, and you pick it up there. But wouldn't you rather have that than nothing? I mean, wouldn't you? This wouldn't be the worst thing for the NHL to come back midsummer with championship rounds.
Yep.
Same with the NBA. You know, if we can gather, let's you know, we've been jonesing for sports at that point for months.
Right.
Why not just throw it out there and let's go deep into the playoffs? Sorry, but here's what the standings are. You know, maybe it's eight teams, semifinals in each conference, whatever you've got time for. But I think even if it was late July and you could only have a Stanley Cup final, let's do it. Give me the best team in each conference and let's go. But I want something back. And not that you guys care, but if you're going to go down that road, Liverpool is two wins away from clinching the Premier League for the first time in 30 years, and it looks like they're going to get stopped. Oh. And, I mean, that's the case. Two more wins and they would have had it clinched. Okay, they're 25 points clear of Man City. And I don't know, nobody cares about soccer, but, you know, you're going to give anybody a championship. Give it to Liverpool.
He's Tom Caron, our Red Sox and Bruin insider at Nesson. TC, and I was going to say enjoy your time off. Enjoy your podcast. Yeah. You know?
Why are you saying goodbye? I got nothing else to do. We just hear that for the rest of the night.
We could do Portland Pirates ECHL hockey or AHL hockey stories from the road if you want.
You want to relive the 93-94 Calder Cup season? I go game by game for you.
That would be great.
I went for a run yesterday just to get outside, and this kid was shooting hoops in the driveway. I stopped and watched. hey, look, somebody's playing sports. This is pretty good.
Then he looked at me weird,
and the parents got to leave.
Yeah, why is this guy doing the play-by-play on my shooting?
TC, speaking of other stories, I was so bored and hard up for sports yesterday, or 2 days ago, that I was watching the original 30 for 30 on 4 days in October on the Red Sox coming back in 2004, and there was nothing but Tom Caron pregame coverage and postgame coverage there from that, so you were a huge part of that documentary.
Just to be clear, I never got a cent out of that, okay? But not that I'm grinding on that. But it was, it's great. Somebody was talking about that. What, you know, list your 30 for 30. There's 4 days in October and everything else, okay? Because I'm like all over 4 days in October.
Yeah.
So that's how you get your baseball fix right now. Go watch that one.
Well, exactly. We'll try to make friends with Bill Simmons and complain about your money that you didn't get.
Yeah. Just get me in another one. Just tell him I want to be in another one.
All right, TC, we'll speak to you next week, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
Take care. Thanks, Tom.